The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Pirello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. And today, believe it or not, is the 8th of January, 2018. And I want you to go out to, stand up, take a deep breath through the nose, out through the mouth, and repeat after me. I am a champion. I am a winner. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Look at all the stuff we have out there. I'll tell you right now, we are right now changing a few things, but basically we're all prosperity conscious now. I'm going to get into more of that as we go along. But before we bring our pal Stevie Shanks in, I'm going to read you something very quickly we've been reading, because I did a show on my own a few weeks back called Fortitude for Attitude, and it was thanking three people since I was a little kid, other than Steve Jack, that have been very, very prevalent in my life. Anthony DiTillo, of course, to me, the king of the power rack, along with the great John McKean, who I'm working with right now on middies in the power rack. I've designed a brand new power rack. Wait till you see the stuff we're doing, and I'm using this a lot for stone lifting, besides lifting actual stones. So there's going to be a lot more on that. And then, of course, Steve Jack, because if I never saw that DVD, I never probably would have went to Iceland, obviously, but I sure as hell never would have lifted stones. So I thank all three gentlemen for that. And I'll tell you right now, gratitude is a hell of a thing to practice, because you'll see your life shift in ways that you've never seen before. If you feel you're in a psychological rut, keep listening to us. I'm telling you, you're going to see stuff and hear stuff that you won't even believe. It'll be so unbelievable to you, and it works. So here we go. If a tree falls in the forest, are you man enough to move it? By the end of the first week of medieval lit, I knew I was in trouble. Oh, I could handle the term papers and most of the old English. I was, however, having trouble relating to my classmates. We'd read legends of heroic knights and warriors, epic poetry of steadfast seafarers, and yet, when class dismissed, they'd prance to the sweet shop for coffee and cream puffs, while I, frothing at the mouth and battle-ready, would bolt to the nearest field to throw hammers and stones. Why? I was inspired. Inspiration is not a passive word. It is built on the Latin root for spiritus, from which we get spirit, and literally means breath or inhale. Yogis and pearl divers aside, there's not a lot to be gained from holding one's breath. I believe it is equally futile to stockpile one's mental arsenal and never wage war. Now, back to our tree. It seems to have fallen and blocked your path. Some will no doubt stand around quibbling as to whether it actually made a sound. How about you? Now, this is stuff that I ask myself every day, and it all comes down to a lot of different things, which I bet Stevie and I are even going to pound upon today. But one other thing besides that, go out to motivationmuscle.com. Look at all the podcasts we've done. This will be the second one with Stevie. There's probably at least 870 shows out there. That's in just a little over 3 years. We're dead bent serious on this stuff. Also, too, sign up for our free newsletter on motivationmuscle.com, and I'll start them next week, and you might get one a week, and it could be anything. But there'll always be good content, because this place is content king, in my opinion. Another thing, too, Frank Robles, who's been on the show, he's a firefighter in Boston. I met him mainly through muscular dystrophy, which, you know, my brother Jimmy, we lost him to, and that's what both businesses are dedicated to. He just sent me a killer video. They're getting ready to go away somewhere, pretty primal, too. He and the guys he trained, they dug a big hole in a pond by his house. These guys are literally submerging themselves in. I don't know if you know what's going on back east We've had probably the coldest week in years here. I've been training in 21 below, 10 below in snowstorms, and yesterday it was 10 below. I mean, you'd walk out and I could feel the chill still in my bones when I came in an hour later after showering and everything. That's life, man, and I love it. All right, as I said, we got our pal Stevie Shanks coming in here, and here's a little info on this gentleman. Number one, strongman, stone lifter. He's a musician and the son of the legendary Jack Shanks. Also, too, as I said, he and his wife, Heather, have been very nice to me anytime we've gone back and forth, with Facebook and stuff, and Stevie is a true gent. Just like many of the people out in that neck of the woods in the UK, obviously, in Iceland and you know, Scotland, he's in Ireland. It's just great to have these people around me, and I hope that I do the same for them. Stevie, welcome back, brother. Happy New Year, and it's an honor to have you with us again, sir.
Thank you, Eric. Happy New Year to yourself, brother, and it's great to be back on the show again. I think this is my third one, actually.
Is it third? Okay. All right. I apologize. I don't even know my own show, man.
Getting an old hat now at this.
But look, anything I missed? I know there's a lot going on. We're going to get into briefly, because Stevie's got a lot of stuff going on, and I really want to get into it. We're going to talk about, because this came up on a show the other night with Charlie Oliphant. A lot of people are asking this, and I know that Stevie is the guy, and I want to get a clarification on, because there's so many people in the United States coming over too that want to lift the Denny Stones. And what do they got to do to be able to get certified, whether it's with Stevie, or they want to go to the gathering. I would assume that will be in August of 18 again. And then we're going to talk about, which I'm very interested in, are the Shank Stones, mainly because I know Charlie went over and lifted them. I know Andrew's been over there with his girlfriend, Kara. That's Andrew Carney, and I am very interested, and I know that Stevie's got a ton of info to lay on us. So, Stevie, anything I missed, put it out there, and let's get started on what do you have to do to be able to come and lift the Denny Stones, please.
I don't think you missed anything. I think the thing about the Denny Stones is anybody can do it. You know, the whole thing about setting up this kind of group to look after them and manage the whole thing is about getting people involved and getting people there to lift the Denny Stones. I think there was always maybe a bit of an air of elitism, for want of a better word, you know, that you have to know somebody who knew somebody to get in and lift them. And that's what we're kind of trying to turn that on its ass and make it more, come along and have a go.
Yeah.
I think that the fact that there is some qualifying criteria is more to keep the lifters safe and to give us time to organise it properly, because we want to record everything, we want to get it on video. We want the lifter to go away with a nice memory of the day. So Jim Splane will come down, take photographs, record a video. They'll get a nice certificate. So we ask for a month's notice. That's the main thing.
Okay. Now, do they have they contact you through Facebook, or do you have something specifically where they can contact you, Stevie?
We have the website. It's thedennystones.com.
Okay.
There's information about what you need to do is obviously all contained on there. Any emails that come through there come to me.
Okay.
It's not that I vet people, because I don't consider myself that important, but I think what we do, Eric, is anybody who wants to do it, I just kind of ask them, like, what's your background in lifting?
Yeah.
And more to stop some poor guy coming in, you know, with no experience, having to go with the Denny Stones and wrecking himself. I mean, these things are heavy, and they will, I mean, if you get hurt in these things, you're going to stay hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to protect the lifters. Anybody that's lifted weights, you know, that's involved in strongman, come on and do it. You know, I would never turn anybody down. But if somebody who came to me with no lifting experience, thinking, look, I just think I'm strong and I get to have a go, I would maybe advise them to go away and have a wee think and have a try.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. So we ask for evidence of 300 kilograms. You know, should you lift it on rings? Should you lift it on a partial straddle, Jefferson? Should you lift it in a deadlift? It doesn't matter what way you lift it. As long as your body has at some point held 300 kilograms, you know, without any straps or artificial aids, then absolutely come along and have a go. If you haven't done that, or you can't do that, you should go away and try it.
yeah, absolutely.
It's common sense, Eric. You know, it's to protect people.
Yeah, and, you know, I say jokingly, but you know, you'll end up leaving your, detach your arms, you know, right from the shoulder and holding on to the Denny rings. I mean, let's face it, it's not something that is for the faint of heart. And I think, you know, I think too with a lot of this stuff, because, you know, I know talking to people, they look at things in a very different light or perspective than I think you and I would and everybody else is this. A lot of people say to me, well, it's only a stone or this and that. I'm like, no, it's not only a stone. It's not only something that could make you very happy to attain that goal and something you'll take with you the rest of your life, but it's also something that could not only injure you permanently but could kill you. And they kind of like snicker at me, but I'm like, you know, you and I both know Inver, Denny's, any of the famous stones, you know, in Scotland. You go to Iceland. I mean, that Husafell stone will rip you in two. You go to any of those places, Dritvik, anywhere, okay, Latra. You go anywhere. Look, I paid for it like Bill Crawford. We both tore our bicep in Iceland, okay? Uh-huh. It happens to even guys that have been doing it for a long time and lifted big things. All it's got to be one wrong move, or it's just a day that you never know. And, yes, I think that is very smart to do things that way. And you know what? If you're really serious about it, guess what? You're going to get the incentive, and you're going to go do it and come back. That's all. Yeah.
And it's lovely to see it, because I tell you, from 1860, roughly whenever Donald Denny is reported to have carried them, from then until this year, the start of this year, there were something like 49 or 50 men had done this. We've now added another 22 this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I think it's 71 or 72. I think it's 71 total, you know, and that's 20 in 1 year.
Wow.
When you had 50 over 150 years. So that's, you know, Stoneland, what you're doing, what we're all doing to promote this, it's working.
Yeah, I mean, there's an uptick definitely even around me here in the U.S. with stones. Now, Ryan Stewart, obviously, he was one of the guys that did it this year, too. And he's been on the show, and, you know, he's extended to me, you know, he's going to go to Iceland in July of 2015, tentatively, and he wants to go and do the stone tour we did in 2008. I mean, that is a hell of a tour, you know. Mark Haydock, I talked to him Saturday just briefly for a little while after, or Friday, no, Saturday it was. You know, you and I got into this on, I think, the first show it was, and, you know, I ask everybody, what movement do you think, you know, really contributes to stone lifting? I remember you said the dumbbell deadlift. I hope I'm still right about that. But I've talked to, like, Charlie, you know, when Andrew was helping him to fix any spots that he felt were not going to help him, that needed to be brought up to snuff. And then, you know, he was big with the trap bar deadlift, as Mark, too. And, you know, Mark will say to me he does some form of a deadlift every day. I know we've got other things to go into, but obviously, you know, lifting them like is what you need to do. There's no doubt about it. But are you still of the same belief where you like to do the dumbbell deadlift to help you progress with the Denny's, obviously?
Yeah, there's like three main exercises that I like to use. I mean, everybody's different. We all have our own things that we like, but it was kind of passed on to me from Dad was the one-hand deadlift on a barbell.
Yep.
You know, and that really helps your grip,
yep,
left and right hands. You have the hack lift, which is kind of like some people call it a hack squat.
Yep.
You know, after Hackensmith, you know, where the barbell's behind your leg.
Yep.
I think that's a good diving power off the ground.
Yep.
And finally, you have like it's called a Kennedy lift in the US, or a partial Jefferson. It's like a straddle.
Yeah, straddle, yep.
Yeah, because it puts you in that same position. I find it invaluable. Having said that, I mean, I was lifting 770 pounds in that.
Yeah, that's brutal, man. And you know, that picture of your dad out there is doing a partial that years ago, right? That the one?
70.
I know. Unbelievable. And you know what I like more than Anthony Stevie's in street clothes, man? You know what I like about the lifters in his age, his era, was, and you look even in the USA, you know, you'll go see a guy like Paul Anderson and the guys around him at Muscle Beach. There's Paul pressing over 400 pounds, right? And if you look at him, it looks like they all just came from church. You know, I mean, and this is what I like about that era so much is these guys didn't have to go and put suits on and this on and that on and do this and do that to lift. They were so damn good and they had built such power up. These guys could walk in street clothes and lift enormous weights. I mean, do you see things that way or not?
Oh, I do. Well, for me, my dad always trained in the garage. He just went outside. He put an old jumper on,
yep.
An old pair of tracksuit bottoms and a pair of trainers, and away he went. It was never any... I mean, my dad's going to kill me if I tell you this, but I'm going to tell you it anyway.
Yeah.
He was going to a powerlifting meet. This would have been back sort of mid-70s. And there was a chap that he worked with, Bertie McMahon. Bertie was built like an absolute... He was a man mountain. So the old weightlifting suits that they had, you know...
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
Just a one piece with two strings going over your shoulders and, you know, something to protect your modesty.
Yeah.
He looked great in it because he was massive, huge legs, but my dad's legs were kind of skinny. And he got this little white one.
Yeah, yeah.
And he put it on, and I remember Mum and me were on the floor laughing. you absolutely cannot wear that. No.
No, right. And you know... It was a different time and a different era, and I love it. And that's one of the things, Stevie, we've gotten into this so much. That's one of the things I love about all the stones. And, you know, we talk sandbags to train them to get ready for a stone. You know what I like about it? But it's even with the lifting, too, you know. This is why with what we're doing with the power rack, which I've used for years, I believe in. I've had this argument with people. I think the power rack... A lot of the stuff that I do in it, I think it is an odd lift. And they'll be like, well, how can it be? It's in a rack. I'm like, when you're taking a huge object that's not made to move from a dead start, meaning there's no rebound with anything, what are you trying to tell me? That's not an odd lift? That's not, I mean, if it was that easy, I guess everybody would do it. So to circle the wagon around, that's why I like those three things that I do in a consistent way. Because to me, I think not only we go and build from head to toe, but as I was telling the other guys, Martin and Charlie, and when I was talking to John yesterday, it's built a confidence in me that I've never had before. I've always been a confident lifter, but it's always like there's been times like anybody, you know, you are there and you're like, did I do everything? You know, I always laugh. I say, well, when you're on Icelandic air and you're halfway there, there's no going home and saying, okay, I didn't deadlift enough or I didn't eat enough or I didn't sleep enough in the last year. It's you're there and now you have to make or break here. You know, other than getting an injury, you either lift it or you don't. But what I want to get, and I'm going to get right to you, is this. With these middies that I've been doing, which is the hardest part of the rack because there's very little leverage anywhere. So that means you've got to be man enough to be willing to drop your weights down and eventually get back up. But the thing with it, it builds muscle bellies. The biggest part are in the middle of that rack. Your leverage is going to be better than you've ever seen with it. And I am training the Hoosa Steel in that similar capacity with bands instead of the rods. But once I get a prototype of this rack, it's got the idea of how to do the steel stones in there too. But to make a long story short with all this is this. What I found with this stuff doing this rack work is this. I never even have a thought coming into my head now that what if or are you going to do it? It's like I stand over it, I stand underneath it, or it's on my shoulders, and it's either going up or it's not. And the idea is if it doesn't, we get it the next time, and that's the end of it. It's no more carrying this load around you that I missed a weight. So go ahead and take it. Comment on anything.
Yeah, it's just we're talking about the Kennedy lift or the partial straddle lift.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very useful exercise, but I think, I mean, the thing that I learned, with, you know, I said I lifted 770 thinking, I should be able to lift the Denny's no problem.
Right.
The minute I first tried the rings, I failed at 550.
Yeah, yeah.
That's 200 pounds lighter.
Yep.
So, I mean, these exercises are useful for building muscle groups, but to see the grip, the grip aspect of it, if you don't train on rings, you're in for a shock.
That, yeah, and I think too, you know, I mean, I got my rings years ago, and I know they've come back out from David Horn. Now, let me ask you this, though. This is interesting. You say with training on the rings. Okay, with all the stuff out there, I mean, we know we've got grip machines, and we've got wrist rollers, and we've got Titan's Telegraph, because I'm a big believer in training the hell out of the thumb for everything now. And an assorted array, whether it's a Rolling Thunder or a 2-inch handle dumbbell or, you know, the 3-inch bar or the Apollon. What type of carryover do they have, if any, in your opinion, when you go to lift the Dinnies and you're using those rings, hopefully not for the first time, but how much of that work is going to affect your grip to lift those monster stones, Stevie?
I think if you're wanting to lift the rings, I don't think that squeezing power is necessarily the sort of strength that's going to help you.
Okay.
I think it's holding power. So when guys get, you know, you get these captains of crush and things like that.
Yeah.
That to me is squeezing power. I'm not particularly strong in that, I have to say.
Yeah.
I'm not, but holding power is being able to hold onto the rings and you know, to train your grip, like you say, with 2-inch bar, Rolling Thunder, you know, rings, hook grip, non-hook grip, anything at all that's going to increase your ability to hold on to your weight.
Yep.
That's the key, because I do think that there's more than one type of grip strength.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
Guys who squeeze and guys who can hold.
Yep. And I think, I'm wondering too, I mean, in fact, I'll ask you this, and I kind of got the answer, I'm sure. You know, when we were talking about the trap bar so much and the holding effect of it, you know, obviously, I know what we've talked about with how it will transfer the rings, but obviously, if you're in a trap bar and you're standing there and holding a huge weight for a while, I would assume it would be very good, obviously, for lifting the Dinnies, correct?
Correct. It helps you with your trapezium and your spinal erectors, and I think that they have to be very strong.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to just say something I know, and I'm sure of this too. As the great Norm Shemansky would say when they'd ask him, how do you get stronger in the press? And he'd just look at him and say, press. Obviously, to get more, right? I mean, think about that. How simple, right, Stevie?
Yeah.
But then again, being that you have done these, obviously, you could say to me too, well, you want to get stronger, make sure you get some rings and some type of loading pin, or have the rings and the chain, you know, built right into some stones and get to them that way, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, I think with the unusual lifting position of the Dinnies, you know, you're straddling it, you've got a heavier weight to the front. I mean, there's a 100-pound difference almost between the front stone and the back stone, the difference in thickness in the rings, everything's working against you. A nice even barbell is great, you know, for building up resistance and strength in those muscles, but you've got to put yourself in that position. It really is. It's a shocker. The first time you try it, I was like, what?
Yeah, obviously. But you know what? Let me ask you this. You know, obviously you had the failure at 550 or in that realm there when you first tried them like that. So obviously you knew you had to improve. How much longer did it take you to get to that point where you knew you had the confidence and the hand strength now to go after those beasts and presumably stand up straight and hold them?
Right. The first time that I tried the rings, it was my dad's rings. A fellow called Tony Atchison had them over in Scotland.
Yeah, he went to Iceland with us in 2008.
Did I? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tony's a nice fella.
Real good guy.
Well, he had the stuff, and I asked him would he mind if I borrowed him for a couple of weeks, because I had done the Jefferson lift. I thought, just get the rings, a couple of weeks training, we'll do it.
Yeah.
I had to phone him back and say, look, it's going to take slightly longer. October 2014, and I did my first Dinny lift in October 2015, a full year, And it was a tough year, you know, because I was a wee bit distracted because I'd just got into all-round lifting as well.
Yeah.
I started to get, you know, some world records behind me and stuff, and I kind of caught my imagination too, so I tried to do them both together.
Yeah.
There did come a point where I just had to focus entirely on the rings.
That's what I figured.
March 15.
Well, I mean, hey, you know what? You know, when you want to go and lift stones and different things, I mean, obviously your attention has got to be focused. Obviously you need weight work and all that, but, you know, we got into that because, you know, Martin's writing, he's in the process of writing a new book, and we talked about all that, you know, not a lot of it, enough what we could without giving the whole book away. You know, that's what he was talking about, you know, when you lift a stone, your foot position, you know, what you're doing, you know, your middle, your core, your, you know, there's a lot, you know, you can brute a stone up to a point, but that doesn't mean you're going to stand up with a stone. You know, how many people do we see get it to their lap and they can't stand up with it? Okay.
That happened to me with the inverse stone, yeah.
Yep. Now, and that's an interesting thing because obviously, you know, this is where I think people get in trouble with the invert, too. You know, they'll say, well, it's only 275 pounds. Well, 275 pounds is a lot of weight, especially when it's not calibrated and you've got to get that beast up on your shoulder. This is where I think the misunderstanding with a lot of strong people comes into play because, you know, as Bill Crawford and other people I've worked with, you'll have these marvelous deadlifters. And then they'll walk up to like a 230-pound Atlas stone. They might get it to their lap, and that's the end of them, man. They can't do it. Either their grip is failing on them or they can't stand up with it. So big change. But I want to keep moving because I really want to get into the other stuff you're involved in right now. But let's talk about the shank stones, which we know Andrew Carney, Kara Shaw, Charlie Oliphant, you know, and Charlie has had a groundbreaking year of stone lifting. There's no doubt about it. So tell everybody about the shank stones. You know, I know they came with from your father, but give us a little history on them and tell us a little bit about them, Stevie.
Yeah, well, whenever Dad was training for the Dinnies back in 1971, he started his training. He actually he thought he would make himself a set of stones to train on. So he got all the measurements, et cetera, across from the police. Now, he had sort of made up his own idea of them.
Yeah.
And they looked like suitcases as the very first attempt. And they were horrible, nasty things and really a very awkward shape. But whenever the drawings came through from the local police over in Petark, he was able to redo them and made them look a bit more like the Dinnies. And back then, my dad reckoned the Dinnies were about 780, 785.
Yep, yep.
So he made his stones 800.
Because
he wanted to train heavier and obviously make it easier on the day.
Yeah.
You know, and boy, mission accomplished. Those things are nasty.
Wow.
I think he made them in February 72. I was moving them the other day just to get them up off the ground.
Yeah.
I tilted them to put them up onto the pallet.
Yeah.
And there was a date underneath it. Couldn't believe it. He etched the date on the bottom of the stone that he made them. So it was, I think it was 16th of February, 1972.
Unbelievable, man.
A real nice moment when we found that, you know. But
yeah.
Or 440 and 360.
Wow. Let me ask you this. I mean, without talking to your dad, what was it about him you think that, you know, there are trailblazers in everything you do. And let's face it, your dad wasn't a 340-pound guy like a lot of the stuff we see today. You know, and you look at WSM, I mean, you're talking giants, at least a few of the guys. But yet, here's this gentleman, police officer, you know, not some big behemoth, but yet a guy that is just so scary strong. What do you think it was? I mean, especially him building those shank stones. And I mean, he just seems to me like he was just so far ahead of the curve, you know, when now people do things and they're like geniuses. But I got to say, he was definitely a genius in how he thought things out and how he built his training. What do you attribute to why he was so successful, Stevie?
Well, the thing about Dad was at the time, and he was British, he had a British record holder in the one-hand deadlift.
Yep.
You know, he had a super strong grip. You know, he had all those things going from a great deadlifter. I think, I mean, he weighed 161 pounds.
Oh, my God.
He was deadlifted, you know, 230 of like 520 pounds.
Ugh.
He was at the time, you know, so he was good at all that. And the thing about it is, the very first time he tried the full weight of the Dinnies, he was successful. and he tried it with a hook with an ordinary grip, and he was able to pull it that way.
Wow!
But
wow!
You have this idea, Eric, that with the curve of the ring,
yeah.
So if I put a bit of metal in there and straighten that off, it'll feel more like a barbell. And then he thought, no, that might be cheating.
Yeah.
So he thought, if I put my thumb in there and do that, then that'll straighten it off. And that's where he invented what he called the thumb grip.
Jeez, man.
Which is there's a subtle difference in the thumb grip and what guys know as a hook grip.
Yeah.
A hook grip is a bar, you're linking your index finger and your middle finger over your thumb. With the hook grip, it's your middle finger and your ring finger over your thumb. So that's what Dad called the thumb grip. And it really is so stable.
Yeah.
And that principle of straightening the curve of the ring, it really does make a massive difference.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That he was doing at the time, and he was thinking, how can I make this and do that? You know, he thought it through. And I've been the same, I have to say, because I had to come from a different position than Dad.
Yeah.
I came from 550, he came from being able to do the 800 first time. You know, so, before catching up. So I had to maximize technique. And I had to maximize grip strength, everything. You know, 155 pounds and trying to lift that, I was really just using every inch of technique and every advantage I could get myself.
Well, you know what the amazing thing is, and I don't know if enough people really realize, and I'm sure out in your neck of the woods they do because of the stone lifting and the tradition and all that, but I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, I'm sure you do, but I'll ask you this anyways, because I'm thinking this right in my head right now. Do you and do people really realize what your father did? I mean, seriously, man. I mean, the first time to walk up at 161 pounds and pull those monsters off the ground. I mean, we talk about strength, and everybody's fascinated with a lot of the athletes today and everything. But, I mean, that is something that I don't think most people could even fathom what your father did. I mean, that is something that should be in the history books with everything else, with no matter what sport it is, because, I mean, we are getting more and more attention to this stuff, but there were so many phenomenal athletes that did so many record-breaking things that if they weren't recorded by themselves, doing it themselves, or someone in the family or a friend. Think about all these great feats of strength that we don't have on film, Stevie.
I know. We have some footage of Dad in the stones, but it's really bad. It was my Uncle Charlie, or my dad's friend Charlie. I called him Uncle Charlie.
Yeah.
He went with an old cine camera.
Yeah.
And he would have done a sweep, about 2 seconds, swept the whole place and then turned it off. Or he would have focused in on the stone going off the ground, so you can see my dad's foot.
I gotta admit though, brother, when I'm out shooting film alone, sometimes all I'm getting is from like the middle of me to my chin. So, you know, and definitely. I mean, I can't even imagine. But those shank stones are beasts, man. I've seen pictures of them and everything. Have a lot of people through the years come and lifted them, or is that another thing now that is getting more popular due to, obviously, you and your dad's history? And obviously, when you got Charlie and a number of people talking about them, are they becoming now more prevalent like the Dinnies too?
They are becoming a thing. Dad and I are both delighted to see it because they're a great challenge.
Yeah.
They don't have anywhere near the same history as the Dinnies, but still they've been around for 45 years now, so... They've been around for a while. The first guy to lift them together after Dad was Brian Irwin, and that was in December last year.
Wow!
That was December 16.
Wow!
And Brian Irwin, who's obviously been Brian's a super strong guy.
Wow.
And since then, there's been six of us have done it last year. So, you know, to go from one in 45 years to two in 2016.
Yeah.
Because Charlie and I managed it on the same day, which was a lovely thing because I hadn't planned to. It was Charlie's day, and we were going down, and I thought, you know what, I'll stick my kilt on, and we'll see what happens.
I love it, man.
It was a massive day for us both. You know, it was a great day.
Yeah, it must. You know, something I'm sure it does, but it must bring your father a lot of joy, man.
It was an immense day for us both. It really was.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
The guys that we've had, I mean, we've got a total of eight, including my dad. We've eight now. We've got my dad, Brian Irwin.
Yeah.
We have... Well, obviously, we know that Andy Kearney's done it.
Yep.
John Pollock.
Yep.
Now, John's story is amazing. John came over to take part in a strongman competition in Belfast. So he stayed with us and, you know, we kind of hung out and stuff. And we're just talking about Dad Stones after the competition back in my house.
Yeah.
And we said about Luke Reynolds was coming over the following day and he was going to have a go from Australia.
Yeah.
And John, he almost his bottom lip when he was like, well, can I not have a go?
Hey, cool. Yeah.
Lip like without, you know, like a wee pout.
Yeah.
I thought, listen, he'd just done a strongman competition. He had given everything and he'd done so well in the competition. But I thought, the guy's obviously spent, he'd not want to go down.
Yeah.
So when he said, I want to, I said, well, let's get in the car, let's go. And you know what? He went down and he tried it. And he, on the fifth attempt, now most people after five attempts would be...
Forget complete. It. Yeah.
He could just see the determination. It was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. And he stood up with them.
Awesome, man.
Incredible lift. And then the very next day, we had Luke Reynolds over from Australia.
Yeah.
And I mean, Luke did a great lift. He was fantastic. So he was, you know. So that's, we have John Paul, we have Andy, we have Charlie, Luke Reynolds, a guy called Trevor Reed, who's a friend of Brian Irwin's.
Yep. And
Trevor came up. Now, Trevor weighs probably about 100 kilos, roughly.
Yeah.
About 220 pounds.
Yeah.
He lifted them easy. And we actually started putting plates on top of them and took him up to 900 pounds, and he'd done that.
Holy cow, man. That's awesome.
950, and he just broke the ground no more, but he actually broke the ground with 950 on my dad's. That was incredible.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, holy cow, you know, to be able to do something that's been there for that long. It's got somebody very famous who used to train on him. Wow. I mean, I just think there's some things, too, and I always believe in DNA, too, with everybody who touched it prior to you. There's strength on top of strength that's sitting on those rings, man. It's like any stone. I always think about anything I read or you touch, and I'm always like, who was here before me, you know, lifting this thing? Who had success with it? I just think it's a very spiritual... I think stones are very spiritual, Stevie.
I love putting my hands on them, Eric.
Yeah. You know,
they just before and after I lift them. Just and it probably sounds stupid, but it's just something that I do. Because you try and think of, like, Donald Dinney and the guys from over the years. I mean, when we had the gathering last year, all those guys turned up. And they've all gone through... We've all gone through the same thing, the same fear and doubt.
Yep.
You know, you've done it in training, but can you do it on the day? All of those things, and you just try and feel all that energy from those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's lovely, it really is. It's lovely.
Well, you know, as they say, it's positive energy that surrounds you, you know, and if you go in there with the idea you're going to do it, chances are you're going to do it. But, I mean, you know, that's the thing with everything, Stevie. It's all who you associate with, who you're working out with, who you're competing with. I mean, look, at one thing I see in a lot of things, the things that really matter and the people that really matter, they're all pushing each other. It's none of this stuff where, you know, it's like a cat fight with everybody. It's not that way. It's like, I don't care one way or the other. I want to push people and help them out to do the best and be the best they can be. When you train and you act that way in your life unselfishly, good things are going to come your way.
Yeah, that's the thing I love probably the most about the friendships I've made is that the way that everybody treats each other with such respect.
Yep.
And everybody's there to see everybody else doing well. There's none of this, I've done it and I hope nobody else does it.
Yep. No. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. There's nobody out to promote their own thing. It's just that we go and we do it, and then it's like who else has come behind us, and everybody's giving advice and cheering everybody. I just love that side of it. It's amazing to be part of that.
Yeah, it's inspiring to the point where even if you are a little apprehensive, you got that kind of feed around you. You and I both know you just are going to look at your house when you had everybody coming over and lifting your father's stones. And you got guys piling plates on them. I mean, it's not enough that it's heavier than the Dinnies combined, but no, we got to put plates on now. I mean, you know, that's inspiration, Stevie. And you know what? You and I both know you feed off that like crazy. You know, it's like sticking your fingers in 220 voltage and boom, there you go. You know, yeah, I love it. Let's talk. Go ahead.
Who else is going to do that? Mark Haydock's coming over.
Cool.
So he is. We're actually going to run. We'll get on this in a wee minute. We're going to run the first International All Round Weightlifting Association competition in Northern Ireland. In
Wow.
So Mark's coming over from that, but I think he's going to come over a day early because he's down to have a go at my dad's stones.
I think that you'll enjoy that. I can't say 100%, but I'm pretty confident he'll lift those, man. He when I had him on about 3 weeks ago, you can just, there's just certain people you just know, their fire and the way they seem to, you know from being around a lot of people, you notice some people that just know how to train intelligently. You know what I mean? It's like, yep, they can be way out there and out of their mind when they're lifting, but they know how to do things just instinctually. And if they've got to change something or make a little twist in it, they do it. It might not always work the first time, but the second or third time, they're right back on the saddle again. And that to me is, it's very fascinating what we do with everything. It's taken way, too many people, well, I'll put it this way. I hope we can keep introducing more and more of it out there and more people, especially the younger kids coming up. I hope that they can jump on the wagon and carry the torch because, it's just so important. Let's talk about some of the stuff you're up to now. We talked about you just purchased a gangland of Atlas Stones. So let's take away. Tell everybody what's going on with you.
Well, one of my first goals of this year is I've picked my dad's stones up, but I haven't locked out with them.
Okay.
So I would like to do that. And I'm not saying I'll finish my stone lifting journey, but with rings, you know, that'll be the end of the main drive on that. But there's all these manhood stones. There's the Inver stone, the saddle and there, the putter up, all those. I want to go around and lift all of those now. You know, and I was over with Charlie last year. It was in July during this. I was July. And we ended up going down to see Brett Nickel.
Yeah, yep.
Wanted to have a go at Brett's stones, you know, and they're monsters too. They're 800 pounds. And we both managed them that day. But while we were on the way, we thought we'd call into the Inver stone.
Yeah.
I hadn't even started my training for any of this kind of lifting.
Yeah.
And I managed to break the ground with the Inver. So, and I got the saddle and mirror up to my waist. So that was a nice inspiration to say, well, look, that's where I want to end up.
Yeah.
Starting at this point, maybe ending up starting up with the put on my shoulder. That's what I'm aiming for. So I was talking to a friend about it, and he says, I know a guy who's selling 10 Atlas stones. A bit like Charlie's, because they start up at £35.
Yeah.
Up to 250.
Yeah.
You know, so it's perfect for this. So I went down and I stuck my negotiating, haggling head on yesterday, and went down and had a chat with him, and I got them for a really good price.
Yep.
And they're coming home in a couple of weeks now, back home to Belfast, so I can't wait to get them home and start training.
So are you training with the Atlas Stones? Obviously, what are you thinking? I mean, is it just going to be a change to do this, to go after some of the other historic stones, or is there a certain reason that you want to get into these Atlas Stones like this?
I think the Atlas Stones will facilitate me lifting the historic stones.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was down with the guys in the Shankill with Brian and Davey Bagnall and those guys.
Yep.
We're trying some of the stones they have, and I got the 80 kilogram, which is 176,
yep,
under my shoulder.
Yep.
So that's my starting point, you know. So if I have these at home, then I can just train 2, 3, 4 times a week on them.
Yeah.
You know, just build up all this, because it's obviously the grip's not such a big issue.
In this one,
it's your squeezing power and your lower back and standing up and all that. And technique is a massive difference, you know, the technique in this is... You know, I'm getting to understand that now, and I'm kind of getting into the training more. So it's a great challenge, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Let me ask you this, and I think this is a very interesting question. Well, it's very basic but interesting, and I'm sure you've probably been asked this a million times, and especially by people that maybe they didn't get what they wanted to when they lifted stones.
Yeah.
Why is it – this is my opinion – I think your grip is very overlooked by a lot of people. I think people think that, all right, for instance, we go to Iceland. Right? Everybody that knows the Husafell stone knows, I know people turn it this way, that way. There's very little handhold, and that thing is like smooth talc.
Yeah.
But what is it about people? They think, well, I've lifted this, I'm very strong, blah, 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 blah. Then they go to a place like Iceland, and they go to grab that stone, and they're lucky if they budge it off the ground. I mean, when we're there with Tony and a number of other people that are considerably strong. I mean, Roger Davis, all these people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you what, you know, they might have got it off the ground, but they weren't coming up any higher with it. And obviously it was the last day of the stone tour, which if it was me and we do a stone tour over there this year, it's Husafell first. I want to get that, and obviously I want to go to Latra next because I feel that was where the initial tear started all the way. But that aside, why is it you think a lot of people, is it just they've never done it, or what is it about grip that a lot of people don't even bring into the equation, and then they come over there and they get basically smacked right across the head and they don't move anything? Why do you think a lot of people, you know, dismiss grip a lot?
Well, I think with a lot of the strongman stuff, and you see strongman on TV now.
Yeah.
You know, with all the big deadlifts and all that, guys are allowed to use hand straps. You know, so I think that there are certain grip events, but grip's not, it doesn't have the same focus when it comes to lifting stones or lifting a barbell.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's come from. I'm never going to knock it. The weights that those guys lift, take the grip out, and the weights that they lift is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, particularly with being so interested in the Dinnies, it's primarily a grip challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that was done by was, I remember going to the first meeting where we were talking about sort of putting a set of guidelines in place.
Yeah.
And the very first motion that came from the Head and Games Committee was, why do we have straps? Can we not just remove those?
You and I both know, what does that do? That changes the dynamic of that whole meet at that point. You know,
he's saying to the guys at the time, controversial.
Yep, absolutely.
Unanimously, no straps.
No, I think, look, you live or die by your hands, man. Yeah. You know, that's the thing.
We have made an exception on that one, and when I say we, with the collective guys who are all involved in this, the exception we made was there are ladies that want to come and lift the stones.
Yeah.
At the moment, there's only one lady, and that's Jan Todd,
okay,
who's recorded lifting them.
Right.
Right, and she used straps. So I think until a lady comes along, and there's a girl called Christy Scott, and I would love to have seen more evidence of her lift, but I think Christy has done it with straps, but Christy wants to come and do it without straps. So I think until somebody does it, I mean, there's Susan Holland Keane and
yeah,
me as well, you know, they came so close that day.
Yeah.
So if we allow the straps, then that means that there's more ladies going to come and try it.
Yep.
So, and then eventually a girl will come and she'll do it without, and at that point, okay, no straps anymore. But, you know, it's about making it inclusive again. We have to include people. We can't say, no, you can't do this or you can't do that. It has to be positive.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And, look, I know that they like to keep things no strap, but you're talking with women coming in. You know, I believe it'll only push the stone lifting even further because, you know, let's face it, I mean, when we were talking about the younger kids and stuff, obviously we know a young kid's not going to come and lift the Denny stones, but my whole point is when they, you know, like you see Charlie's son there, you know, I mean, I'm looking at this 7-year-old kid, and I know there are many others there, you know, I'm sure, you know, Lance Holland Keane, obviously his wife and their daughter and their younger kids. What, I mean, what a great thing for, I don't know if they get it initially, and I would get it if they're kind of like, okay, but think about that. You grew up around this stuff and what it's done to you. Think about these kids, what they're witnessing, and that they're standing among giants in the stone lifting. I mean, look, a guy that's done a lot of things on my end, I mean, I'd be standing there, I'd be like, holy cow. There's Stevie Shanks. I'm going to go up and shake his hand and meet him for the first time, or Charlie, or Martin, or any of these guys, your dad. I mean, I think that when you love this stuff so much, it doesn't matter who it is. It's just you're amazed that you're standing there. You know, and I'll send it right to you. I was saying the other day, I think to Martin it was, you know, that first DVD of Steve Jecks in Iceland with the Husafell, I wore that first one out. I watched it so many times. And I'll never forget the first time there when we drove up and we parked the vehicles and we were kind of like buzzing around the church and all that. And I remember walking up and, you know, seeing that huge stone carving on the one side of Snorri Bjornsson and walking a little further. And, you know, obviously I didn't know that where it lays, the Husafell ever lifted it, that's where you started from. There's nothing where they bring it to a point and stand it up. You stand it up if you're first. And I was standing there, Stevie, and I was like, I'm here, man. I said, I've watched this video 50 times at least. And I said, I'm standing right what I watched for, how, you know, 50 times. It's just amazing. It's the same thing, I'm sure, with the Denny's, the Inver, the people you're around, the, you know, the video you've watched. I mean, you really got to, like, pinch yourself and say, you know what, I'm here.
Time that I seen the Denny stones.
Yeah.
I went over to lift them.
Yeah.
And they arrived. It was actually a forklift to put them down.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, holy crap, what have I got myself into?
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's absolutely amazing, you know, what you see, what you witness, who you're around, who are the, you know, who's this guy? You know, suddenly he walked up and boom, off the ground. I mean, it's a very amazing thing to be part of. And, you know, as I said to you in the beginning, especially with, like, your dad and everything, the memories you have from this stuff, even, you know, with the tear over there and everything. I remember some of the Iceland guys saying to me, you know, I can't do the accent, but it was like, now, Eric, you have a permanent scar forever. And I kind of looked at him like, what? You know, because at the time, you're kind of pissed off. You're trying to rationalize that. Like, I got to go home, man. You know what I mean? With a ripped arm, unless I'm going to have it fixed here. So, but now I understand all of that. I get it. I finally, you know, years ago, I was like, you know what? Those guys have all had tears. They've lived through it. They've gone back and done some great things. And you know what? It's a reminder that I've been here, but it's also a reminder when you go back, nothing like that ever happens again. You know,
yeah.
You go and you meet people like yourself, and you strive to do the very best you can, and you lift everything you can, and you got a lot of memories, but you also spend time with one another, and, you know, you talk, and you eat, and you have a good time, you have some drinks, whatever. And that's what it's all about, because that's the stuff. You know, Bill Crawford said it right. He said, you know, this will probably be the last time that a lot of people ever come over here. And there's a lot of truth to that. So if you're going to come and do things like that, you damn well better be serious and ready to fire, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you come to a thing half-cocked, I don't think you're going to get the same out of it. If you prepare for it and you go along and you're giving yourself the best chance, I mean, coming away after making that preparation and being successful, it's the greatest feeling, honestly.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Yeah, because I've seen guys fail at the Denny's, and I've really felt sorry for them.
Yeah.
But the only thing you can do is say, look, this is where I think if you work here, you'll improve, and go away and work on this, and here's my rings.
Yep.
Don't have it.
Yep.
Them and have, oh, you know, and then they come back, and they're successful. That's great.
Well, let me ask you this, too. I mean, and anything else you want to add. Now, the Atlas Stones are coming, okay, and what do you feel Atlas Stone wise you're going to have to work on, and how long do you feel this is going to take before you start hitting the big famous stones you want to hit in Scotland or anywhere else? So what is it going to take with the Atlas Stones? What are you going to be doing in weight training to help you out if you feel you need to do anything or change anything? But what do you think for a timetable right now, Stevie?
Timetable wise I'm looking at the start of the summer.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not expecting to take a year at this.
Yeah.
You know, ready. I'm expecting maybe 3 or 4 months hard training.
Okay.
I've been pulling 220 up to where I can stand up with it, you know, when a decent sized Atlas stone. But I want to be ahead of the stones that are over there. I want to go over and not make it look easy, because it's never going to be easy, but I want to do it with a bit of confidence.
Yeah.
And a style, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. You know, so it's. I'm not going to know until I try it. And I've done a bit of work with the guys, with Brian and Davey, and, you know, making good progress.
Yep.
I've taken about 4 or 5 weeks off of moving house. So I'm kind of wanting to get back into things again, and I can feel the wheels all turning again, because Planet Granite's up and running again now.
Yeah, so, yep.
So it's all good, you know. But, you know, you can set yourself timetable goals, but if it doesn't happen, it's not going to end the world. I'm just going to keep going until I know I'm ready.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, anybody, you know, that's the problem with people. They're too rigid about when it's got to be and when I got to do it. It's like, you know, the way I look at it is keep training it, keep getting better with it. And most of all, this is one thing I think a lot of people lack. They don't enjoy it.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I do. Me too. I mean, look. You know, just with what's going on over here weather-wise, all right? I mean, I got heat in the garage to keep the chill off, but it doesn't – it runs at 45 degrees, all right? It's not cold in there, but it's not warm in there, and I don't want it like that because it's too comfortable. It's too warm, and basically I start getting, like, groggy when it's really hot like that. But – and I'm in and out of the garage constantly, right? But the thing I want to say is – you know, you've got to love things, especially like when it's like that. You know, with weather and all that, it's pretty easy just to say, you know what, I'll go after it tomorrow. Well, you know something, this is my philosophy all the time now. You miss a workout, you just lost out on a chance to do who knows what, and you can't get that day back.
No, you can't.
No.
You can't. But at the same time, there are times that I find it very difficult to go and train.
Do you?
You know,
yep.
If I don't have a reason, if in other words, if I'm not aiming for a Denny stone lift or lifting my dad's stones, or I want to shoulder the inverse stone, if I don't have that at the end of the line, then it's like, what am I even doing here?
Even
with music and stuff, you know, if we don't have a big show to look forward to, you know, you kind of drift. I find you drift and your training's not focused, or you're practicing with a band. You don't even bother practicing with the band, you know.
Yeah.
If you have a show coming up, or there's a lift coming up, or a competition, or a record you want to break, then that's it. The blinkers are on, and you just aim for that.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you know what I think, too, is, you know, like you said, you know, you have to have a very good goal in mind, because the goals are going to propel you. I mean, that's a fact of life, and it's no good to be just aiming and just shooting for anything. You know, let's face it. You want to train, you want to keep your strength, but it's always better to have something very big that's in your path that you've got to move, as in move it or go through it. Not around it, go through it, you know, and go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just giving that. There's a lot of guys that talk to me about the stones over here and stuff, and, you know, and about their own training. And the very first question I ask everybody, and I mean, I'm no expert, I'm only quite new to this, I'm only a few years at it, but I think I bring my experience of nearly 40 years as a musician.
Yeah.
What are you training for? Why are you doing this?
Yep.
I just want to get fitter. In what way? You know, to be specific, you want your arms bigger, you want your chest bigger, do you want to lift more weight? You know, think of it in those terms. And then you can see the wheels turning, you know, like, ah, okay, right, yeah, well, I'd like my biceps to be bigger. Right, okay, well, then you're going to be lifting, you're going to be curling with a bar. You know, I want my chest to be bigger, so you're going to be benching. You know, those kind of things, is trying to be specific about what you need to do to reach that goal.
Yeah.
You have to tease the goal out of people sometimes. You know, it's not everybody comes in and says, right, I'm doing this because I want to be here. They just, I'd like to get stronger, or I'd like to go to the gym.
Yeah. No, and that's a great thing. But like you said, why are you here?
Yeah.
Why?
It's got to be an end game, you know, because that's the thing that will bring you on quicker and keep you focused.
Yeah, and you know what? As they say, you got to be hungry for everything. I always say, you know, lift big, eat big, sleep big, whatever it takes, man. You know, I mean, just throw everything right at it, and here we go. And that's what I love about it. And I like it here. I just like it the way the weather is right now. To me, I mean, a lot of my stuff is frozen to the ground now. Some of the stuff I did cover so I can get to it. But you know something, it won't damage a thing. If it's not like feels like it's permanently to the ground, I can whack it a few times with a good sledgehammer and free it up. The thing is, those beasts have iced up, so when you go to hold them, you better hold them tight, or you're gonna have broken feet. You know what I mean? So, But there's other ways. I've got stones inside my garage, and I got a big loading pin that simulates like an Atlas stone where I can load plates right to it. And I've got millstones in there and all kinds of things. So I'm never without something, you know, and I've got I've got three of the Hoosa steel stones in the garage too. So, I mean, I've got some pretty massive stuff sitting around in there. So, do I have to rely on the outside? No, but sometimes I like to get I've got some river stones and some other things outside. Once in a while, I just like to pick that stuff up, even in the cold, and just carry it. So, you know, you prepare. And yeah. And preparation is key to whatever you want to do. And if you don't prepare, as my teachers always said in college, prepare to fail. That's the key. I mean, you got to prepare. What else you got going on besides the Atlas and getting ready, which is big, you know, going after some more famous stones in Scotland? What else has been going on?
I'm kind of involved in the all-round weightlifting. So it's the IAWA is the UK version of it. It's the USAWA.
Yep.
With the American version of it. So, I mean, I've been involved with those guys now for about 3 years.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's great because, I mean, that they're a fantastic bunch of guys. And, you know, I would nip over and do a record session, or we'd go over and do, like, a world championships, or we had the Gold Cup recently.
Nice.
Which is a competition where they come from all over. And your first lift has to break an existing world record. And, you know, so there's like, no pressure at all in it. You know?
Yep.
But what I've been doing over here, I'm part of the local weightlifting federation, and my job on the committee there is to promote all-round weightlifting in Northern Ireland, because there's none of it here.
Yeah, so right.
We went from 5 in the first year to, I think, 11 members last year.
Nice.
We did, and we came second in the all-round postal league.
Yeah.
So I just wrote a report today of all the things that are going on, and we've brought about another 3 world records back to Belfast.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So we're going to have our very first, it's called the Northern Ireland Open.
Yep.
International All-Round Weightlifting Association Championships. So that's going to happen in March. So that's groundbreaking. That's brand new for here. So that's the first time. So there's guys coming from England. I think there's a couple of guys in Wales interested. The Scottish guys, I'm sure, will come over. And then we've got local guys. So it's going to be a great competition. Steve Gardner and his wife, Karen, are going to come over and help me with the refereeing.
Nice.
I'm the only referee over here, so if we can get a few other qualified referees over, then we can just start building it and taking it to the next level. So that's very exciting.
Wow, without a doubt. You know what I want to ask you, too? I know I think we talked about it online. I know that you were looking at one point, some of the famous stones that you were investigating in Ireland. Is there any more on that, Stevie?
It's kind of gone a bit dark on that at the minute. There's a young fellow who's doing it as part of a PhD.
Yep.
And he made great progress initially, but he seems to have hit a bit of a wall on it. So I'm not pressing him because, I mean, I'm super excited to see it. And Brian and all the guys, we're all mad keen. And I know Martin's mad keen to come over.
Yeah.
And see the stones if we can identify some. But there's been nothing concrete. There's been nothing granite yet that we found.
But that's good. You're still moving.
Oh, it's still moving. So I'm going to touch base with him now, maybe in February, and see what progress he's made. Because if we can even identify one, then that's a start. We'll go find it. We'll go take pictures of it. We'll publicize it in all the right places and make sure everybody's aware of it.
Yeah.
And then we can build it from there, you know. But that is something I would love to see taken off as well.
Oh, yeah.
It had to happen here.
Yeah.
Thank God, Ireland, Celtic.
There has to be major stones there. There has to be.
We're just uncovering them's a thing, you know. And then later on in the year, we've got I had this idea about the gathering last year of bringing all the, you know, the previous lifters together, but from my dad right the way through.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing day. So the owners of Blogie Estate and David Webster have decided that they would like to do it every year now. So it's going to be an annual event.
Wow. Wow.
So I called it the Denny Stone Gathering last year.
Yeah.
We actually call it Donald Denny Gathering going forward, because it's a Donald Denny Day. So we're bringing the Inverstone down. Martin's going to bring that.
Wow.
The Denny Stones, you know, the crowds, we've had about 500 there last year. I think the crowds will go.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got other guys interested from all around the world. They want to come over and try and lift these things and carry them. And Mark Haydock, he's held for leather.
Yeah. The world
down. So that I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know. So it's, that's really exciting. So I'm going to start working that next month.
That, you know, it is, that's the thing, you know, that's what we said, you know, the art of stone lifting is definitely growing. And like you said, when you run the Donald Denny gathering this year, it'll probably break every record of people you could even conceive. And I really think it's just going to keep growing, growing, growing.
Yeah, I think Stoneland has played a massive role in that with Terry and John Todd getting involved in that. I mean, that's 16 million views.
Yeah.
I remember they very kindly invited me to the Arnolds last year.
Yep.
And we brought the replica stones into the competition. There was Mark Felix, Old Hoad Hogan, Bill Crawford, myself.
Yeah.
It was what? I mean, you're talking about memories.
Yeah.
You know, hanging out with Bill Casimir and Mark Henry and seeing Halfdoor and everybody. But it was like being in a superhero movie.
Yeah, it is.
Well, with your own superhero costume on, it was amazing.
Well, Bill was talking all about that on the show last couple weeks ago. Real interesting stuff. You know what I want to ask you? I've never asked you this question.
Yeah.
Do you, in your opinion, if you had to pick something, what in your opinion, if, you know, they talk about the greatest manhood stone in the world or more than one, is there a stone that really has your fancy, so to speak?
Well, obviously, I mean, the Denny's, I'm very passionate about those.
Yep.
My whole life, but if you were to ask me to bring a second one, I think the Inver, because of the Denny connection.
Yeah, yep,
you know,
yep.
You know the story of the Inver stone? That's how Donald got his name, because his father, Robert, was speaking to this guy, and he said, if anybody can lift this stone, I'm going to name my son after him, you know. So it was a fella called Donald lifted the stone.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, and I've had a tussle with it now. And I mean, that was July, so that's 6 months ago. And my forearms are just now fully healed.
Wow. Well, yeah, because everybody, for people who don't know, tell them how gritty that stone is.
Yeah, I mean, you get those Atlas stones there, you know, the ones that they make for Giants Live.
Yeah.
They're super smooth, like the Ardbrower stone, super smooth. This stone is like a big granite egg.
Yeah.
And even if you just lift it once, your forearms are going to know, because it just rips you to shreds, because you obviously have to squeeze with your forearms.
Yeah.
So they lift the thing off the ground, and it just rips you to pieces. But you know what? I'm very, very proud to show those scars to people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well,
fantastic stone.
Yeah. So, I mean, but now you're in a position with the Atlas stones to start going after, like you said, and I'm sure once you get used to training with the Atlas stones, I would assume you'll just blast that Inver right up to your shoulder, man.
That's the plan. That's the plan. It's like training with rings.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to train on a barbell, but you've got to train on the rings to get the real feel for the stuff of the Denny's.
Yeah.
I think you've got to get as close to what you're doing with the Inver to get a feel for it. So the Atlas stones is as close as I can get over here.
Yeah.
So, using all the same muscle groups and, you know, bending over and breaking the ground with it, get it onto your knees, you know, get your arms under, all of those, the technique of it as well. Because I actually watched my video of trying the saddle and mare. And I mean, really, my technique was so poor.
Yeah, yep.
Even now I know I would do a better job because my technique's better. You know, so all of those things are going to come to play over the next couple of months. And I'm just looking forward to getting stuck into it.
No, that's killer, because, you know, you've made your goal. You've done the Denny's. And I mean, you can always go back and do those again. But, you know, now you go out on a real stone tour that you want to do and go and really lift the stuff you want. And not only that, you are training for this. So now you get another barometer of your strength, man. And, you know, that's a real interesting prospect, because, you know, I know talking from the other guys too, I mean, you have no cheering section other than the people you go with. I mean, you're out in the middle of nowhere, and that's a good thing. You know, I don't think you need to have just tons of people around you. I think it's good to go with some like-minded lifters.
And I'm a performer.
Yeah, exactly. You like to perform, and you want to do it. And, you know, I just like the idea you go out and just brutalize something. That
is.
You know? I mean, look, it either gets you or you get it. I mean, you know, and otherwise, you go home for another day and you decide if you want to come back or not. That's why I think one of the things, especially here in America, I mean, when Ryan was on here, Ryan's been looking through North America for favorites, you know, for famous stones, he feels, or some kind of connection. He said he's had more luck in Canada finding stones, he feels, than here so far.
Super strong fella.
Good guy, man. Real good guy. I'll tell you, anybody that's been on here, that no matter what they've been in and obviously focuses on stones, they've been some of the best people I've ever met through the show, because not only are they spot on, but, I mean, they're pretty damn honest about everything. It's like what I find with a lot of them, it's really no holes barred. You know, it's we're not going to try to hide anything. We're just going to tell you what we're doing and, you know, away we go. You know, it was like when Charlie was on the other night, the first time we talked about what Andrew Carnie had him doing, he didn't really elaborate a lot on it. And then the other night when he was on, he pretty much, the time before that, he was really talking about it. But this time, he really got into what they were doing specifically. And one of the interesting things was, because we all know this can be a problem, is, you know, his upper back was weak, he felt. And they really went to town on it. And anybody that follows Charlie can see the kind of year he had in 2017. So what I think with all this stuff and you know, not lifting the amount of stones they have with, you know, the natural stuff and the historic ones, but, you know, I got plenty here. The thing is, I find with these guys is they all seem to take direction well. Everybody's more than willing to help you out, whether you're standing at the gathering or you're in your garage or out in your yard. And, you know, as you told us, hey, you know, stand up on it or do this movement and blah, blah, blah. I think with anything, if you want to be successful, you got to really have that mindset.
You do indeed. Yep. Well, one of the things you were talking earlier on about, you know, about there's no young fellas coming through.
Yeah.
To lift the stones, you know, because obviously we're talking about sort of like young Lawrence and stuff at 7.
Yeah. Yep.
But at the minute, the youngest lifter is, I think, 22. But I've been contacted by a chap called Rob Spence.
Okay.
Now, Rob Spence is from County Durham in England, and he's coming up in March, and he's 20.
Wow. That's awesome.
The youngest, and I mean, I'd asked him for some, you know, show me in action and stuff, you know, so
he's
a strong boy, so he's going to be the youngest. Now, there was guys, obviously younger, that lifted him with straps.
Yeah.
But I think the youngest strap lifter was Ken Nowicki.
Yeah.
17.
Yeah, yep, Ken's on here, yep.
And Ken's also the youngest unassisted currently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. But if Rob comes and do this, he's going to take that crown off Ken, and that's one, you know, you can never win back, unfortunately.
Yeah, right, exactly. But it's great to see, though. I mean, it's definitely caught fire, and it'd be, you know, you see different people on there, especially like on my Etched in Stone page, and, you know, there are younger guys doing it, and, you know, it's a great thing to see, because it's like anything. You know, when Charlie talks about the Ard Blair stones and all that, you know, it's traditions which you guys have, which I think are incredible. We don't have that type of tradition over here. I mean, you know, just for my instance, it's like when you went to Iceland, you could, if they asked you people, what are you doing here? And you said, I'm going to go lift the Húsafell stone. I'm not exaggerating. I didn't meet one person that didn't know what the Húsafell stone was.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. I mean, I think like some of the stones that we talk about, like the Inver and the
Denise. Yeah.
And the Húsafell, I mean, those are ancient stones, you know, with a lot of tradition behind them.
Yeah.
But I was talking to Andy Kearney, and I was talking to Charlie about this too, and I think the Ard Blair stones are a testament to that, and probably my dad's stones too is, you know, yes, there's all these stones with their history, but history has to start somewhere.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
We're doing that now. We're kicking off with the Shank stones. We're kicking off now when Charlie's kicked off with the Ard Blair stones. They're a few years old.
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, 40 years, 50 years will fly by in no time, and next thing you know, they're going to be ancient stones as well. So,
It's
nice in at this and kind of putting things out there as a challenge for people, and kind of not only just relying on what's gone 200, 300 years before, that's starting things off now as well, which we're all involved in, which is, I'm loving that side of it too.
Yeah, and they, the, you know, all this stuff needs people like yourself to be involved, and especially with your background, obviously your dad, but all the other people that you have connections to, because, you know, it just makes it better. I mean, we're talking here like now. It's like a story we're telling here. You know, it is literally something that someone has maybe not heard about, or they're interested in going. They're going to be like, you know what? I just heard this show that Stevie and Eric did, and damn, man, I'm going to reach out to Stevie, or I'm going to go over there and see what it's all about. I think that, look, it's one thing to be a very good lifter, no matter what you do. But as I say, giving back and promoting and doing things of that nature, I think, is even that much more important. Because you're going to, you know something, Stevie? You know, a lot of people don't like to talk about, but it's like, I think legacy is very important. And I think, you know, long after you and I are gone and everything else that's going on here, I hope whether it's a son or daughter of mine or a niece or nephew of mine wants to be involved with these companies so much, they want to grow the legacy more. And when they're gone, it keeps going. That, yeah, to me, is the most important thing that we do. And it's not an ego run or anything like that. But what it is it's something that's going to last forever after we have left. And that, to me, is you've done your job.
Well, that was kind of my plan. When I get involved in this, obviously I wanted to lift the stones. But when I get more deeply into it, Eric, it was about my dad and keeping his story alive, because my dad's story, I'm obviously biased.
Well, yeah, yeah.
He's my superhero, but I mean, I just want to make sure that side of the story, and then everybody else's subsequently, that it all flows from that, you know.
Yeah.
And it has, it's caught on like a house on fire. Now, I got a message from Luke Stoltman.
Yeah.
You know, Luke wants to come over and lift the stones now, which is, you know, so you're talking about a guy who's just come. He was almost in the finals of the World's Strongest Man.
Yep.
He wants to come along and do this now. This is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, the guys of this caliber, you know, with Andy and Johnny Pollock and you know, there's so many strong, strong guys are starting to come along now and do this, you know.
It's, I really think it's a quest to really see what the hell you are, because it's ancient and it holds, you know, we were talking about that. Who touched it before me? The DNA, all that. I think what happens with a lot of these guys is they're very good at what they do. They've won, but then they start hearing about this stuff and it strikes a chord. And I think with a lot of it is, you know, we were talking about confidence and all that, because let's face it, a lot of guys are not going to jump out of their comfort zone and come and take on the Shank Stones or the Denny Stones or the Inver or the Husafell, because you know what it is? This is what I used to always come up against when we were doing things, even with like a 2 or 3 inch bar. Most guys wouldn't go near it, and I know why. They were afraid, what if I don't lift it? Well, you know what? You better get over that real quick, because chances are if you go after things like that, you might get knocked on your behind and not like it very much. And I think that's why a lot of people don't go and give their all and say, hey, what, you know what, I'm glad I did this, I'll be back next year. You know, I think that's a lot of it. Nobody wants to see themselves be seen by other people if they have quite a reputation and suddenly I go to lift stones and I can't even rock them off the ground, you know. So I think that's a lot of it with things. I think, you know, you got egos, you got people that are going to be like, nah, I don't want, I can tell you a number of things like yourself. You'll get a million excuses before you'll get one where I'll come and do it. You know, they'll tell you a million reasons why you can't do it. Well, I'll tell you all the time why you should do it.
Yeah. I mean, at the minute, I mean, I think there's probably about half a dozen guys that I'm aware of in the background. Just training away. There's an Italian chap, Enzo. There's There's all over the place that are training specifically on rings.
Yeah, Enzo's... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I can't wait to see them all kind of come out the other side of their journey and you know, and end up at Patark and see them on the website. That'll be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen those guys going from just being interested in it to actually doing something about it, putting in the hours, and then coming and being successful. That's that's going to be lovely to watch over the next year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very nice to see something that you've put your heart into and you've done it, and now you've got others following behind you and coming up. Stevie, what else you got? You got anything else, my friend?
Well, next week I'm off to Lanzarote.
Oh.
Because last year, man, I was actually just writing in a few notes, if you know, of just before I talked to you about the stuff that was going on last year, and I ran out of paper.
Yeah.
Because it was just so much happened last year, and then we moved house, you know, so that's it. And then obviously with the band, I mean, we passed our 1,000th show last year.
Wow.
We passed 25 years on the road, you know, so it was a hell of a year. So I'm just ready for a week to just go and drink sangria.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It's nice sometimes just to unplug and get away.
Absolutely. I think I'm definitely looking back now at what happened last year. I think I've earned a wee week away. So Heather and I are going to go to Lanzarote for a week, and then when I come back, there'll be a nice, shiny new set of Atlas Stones.
Yeah, and you know what? It'll be nice. You'll be rested, invigorated, and you'll be ready to do your tour 3 months there and go over and just nail everything in sight. And that right there is what it's all about. You know, you do the work, you keep the good positive attitude, and, you know, I know at times it's hard to do, but you gotta just override the bad stuff if there's anything bad going on, and you will get to your destination and go. Because none of this stuff we know is easy. You've gotta put the time in, you've gotta be smart how you do things, but yep. There's still no guarantee you're gonna get it. And that's, I just think that's, for me, that's the attraction more than anything. It's like, yep. I know everybody say, well, it costs a lot of money to travel and you got to stay and all this. Look, if you've dedicated yourself to something this important, you already know that. So what you do is you get your stuff together, you get on that plane, you get over there, and you do every single thing you can do to make it happen. And as I said, there's nothing like meeting all the different lifters over there and coming home with a smile on your face, because you know what? No one can ever take those memories from you.
No way, man. Definitely not. Here, by the way, your room's ready for you whenever you're arriving.
I told you before we came on, because Heather sent me a thing the other day, said, you know, we got the house, so come. I was like, I'm doing everything I can, and I said to Stevie, I said, he might end up having to drag my ass out of there because I won't want to leave. I mean, I haven't, you know, Stevie, I haven't had a vacation in almost 5 years now. It's all been poured in here, but you know what? This is the life I want. There's no complaints, and there's so much more to do, and there's going to be plenty of good times with everybody. Go ahead.
You're welcome here anytime, brother, anytime at all.
Thanks, brother, and I appreciate that, because Martin was the same way, but, you know, Martin, he's throwing in, well, we're going to make a stone. He says, I'll make a stone lifter. We'll go out to my shed. I'm fine with all that. Same with Charlie, you know. It's nice to hear that people have an interest in you like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's real important, because I'll tell you, you know, as I say at the end of the show, just saying inspiring things to people can change your life forever, and there's no doubt about it. You know, so anything you want to add, summarize everything, I'll summarize and hang on the line, and we'll get you back here again soon.
Yeah, well, I think the one thing I want to say is, anybody listening to the show who is interested in stone lifting, well, specifically the Denny Stones, don't be afraid to ask me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm easy find on Facebook. My email's on the Denny Stones website. Pop me a message, and there's no questions too small or silly, because, I mean, everybody has their own questions and their own things that they want answered in this. I will answer anybody's questions if it's in my power. No problem. I'm more than happy to help anybody.
And that's an awesome thing. Stevie, they can get a hold of you, obviously, through Facebook. Is there any other way they... Well, I know you've got the website, DennyStones.com. Is there any other way they can get a hold of you, an easy way to get you if they need to?
Well, they can get me address and knock the door.
Yeah, well, but but obviously, they can get a hold of you through Facebook if they want to.
The easiest way, yes.
Okay.
My profile is very accessible. You know, you can just go and drop me a friend request or pop me a message.
Okay, that sounds great.
I can send photographs and advice. There's everything's here.
Well, that's the thing, and it's very nice of you to volunteer your time like that. I think that's a great thing. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. As I said, you're all winners and champions. You know, this is the way you got to think, especially you want to go over there and rip some stones off the ground. You better have that mentality among a lot of training years behind you. But you know what? Nothing is impossible if you want to do it. Also, too, go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com. You know, we're getting ready to relaunch Winners and Champions, Inc. You can go out and check that out. That will be all ready to go this week. Also, too, we've got a new, we got rid of the name Contribute, and it's now called Prosperity Consciousness. You'll see more of that. I'm developing all that this week, and you'll understand why it was called that. Also, too, go out to, we have a YouTube channel. Just type in Fiorella Barbell, Real Men, Real Strength out on YouTube. You'll get that. There's a lot of video and a lot of things we do here. Also, too, go out to motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. You'll look at, I'll have this show up tomorrow that Stevie and I did. And we're staying very tight with all the shows, so they're usually up either that day or the next day. But I just put one up, obviously. I just put Iron Stan's show up, which was killer. He was brand new here. You want to see a guy that can bend? He's been around forever, and he's a great guy, man. What a guest he was, and he wants to be a regular. I was telling Stevie, I think if I didn't, you know, he's a bender, obviously. He sends me a note, and he says, what's your address? I'm going to bend a horseshoe for you. So, you know, that will be another thing that will be on the wall here in the gym in FBC. Anything people send me, it goes out there, unless it's something more personal. But if it's related to steel, you can bet it's out there, and we love all that. So, I thank Stan for that. It was very nice of him. Also, too, as I said, Category podcast. Go out and look at all the shows Stevie and I have done. Also, too, sign up for our free newsletter, and I will get on that next week, obviously. Also, too, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them 5 words of inspiration. We know what that can do. It can change your life. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and Stitcher. That's what we've gotten from everybody. We thank you. If there's a show you'd like Stevie and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Your car, most people live in them now. You can get M&M on AHA Directory. That's called AHA. You can get us into your car 24/7. Also, too, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get for the day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, pull it, press it, pull it, squat it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And the great Hoos of Steel Stone Crusher says in blood red, domination, we clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, when I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. You can bet on that and some this year for sure. Frank Klein, my greatest college professor in business. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, the greatest chiropractor ever, who we lost 3 years to cancer. He was like a father figure to me because I met John long after my dad passed away. He'd say, keep smiling. He'd walk every patient to the door and do that. Say that. Watch the mind shift you'll have. And even on your best or worst day, I walk around and say that all the time, and I know John would be very proud of me. Obviously, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 more of your friends we're coming, because we won't kick your door and we'll blow the roof right off your house. Listen, join the family. Join the revolution. We need you, and you need us, and we plan on being here for at least 30 more years. And I mean that with my whole heart. Also, too, Les Brown says you all have greatness. We'll take it 2 steps further. And we got your back, and we believe in you. And I don't know many people in today's world that would ever swear to something like that. But that's what you do. We make our pledges. We honor one another. And we live for victory, folks. And we give back. Stevie, honor. Happy New Year. I hope you'll remember me to your dad, though I've never met him. I've seen him from afar like all of you, but but I do plan on meeting you and your family and your father. So thank you for being on, my friend.
Absolute pleasure as always, Eric. Happy New Year, my friend.
Thank you very much. So, for Stevie Shanks, this show will be up tomorrow. We got Gareth Denyer up tomorrow. We got a full week. I know we got Bill Crawford, I believe, this Saturday, too. So we've got a very busy week, but I love it that way, and I think we are the best. I'm telling you right now, we will reach our 100,000 a month downloads before you know it, and things are going to change even more. So, everybody, have a great week. We will talk to you soon, and remember, life is asking something from you. You have to deliver. Thank you, everyone. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.